Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A very good Monday to you. So how you living? How was that weekend? Nice to have you here. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. All right, so let's get it. First hour is open. Three interviews, but they do not start until hour number two. So jump up in here. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you just saw the graphic. Let me lay it out. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. So what did you get into this weekend? What did you do? What did you see? What did you watch? What do you want to bring to it? Step it up. Pick up the phone. Hit us up. I've got the entire crew here ready to roll. 1-800-636-8686. You know the drill. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you can still email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the interviews coming up at the top of hour number two, a cornerback with the Colts, Kenny Moore II. Also in hour number two, head basketball coach at Tennessee, Rick Barnes. In hour number three, a linebacker with the Seattle Seahawks, K.J. Wright. I've got an ATP on a Monday, too. So where to start? Why don't we start in the City of Champions? After all, I'm right down the road. I am adjacent to the City of Champions, Los Angeles, California, the City of Champs. Now, you may not agree with it. You might not want to take my word for it. But if you still need more evidence, check out Aaron Rodgers, of all people, and what he dropped on Twitter. Some SoCal love. And I quote, Max Homa. That's the tweet. Hashtag City of Champions. End of tweet. All right, so we'll get to the zip code gloss in a minute, but why don't we start with the dude that Aaron Rodgers just name-checked, Max Homa. You know Max. Max went to hell and back this weekend and ripped some incredibly impressive hardware in the process at the Riviera Country Club yesterday. The Genesis Open is the final act of the PGA Tour's best coast swing. Best coast. And it's a hell of a closer, right? It's where Tiger Woods made his professional debut. The same track where Steve Elkington went legend and ripped a major. And it's where Max escaped a certain golf death twice in about a half hour. You probably saw it, but if not, let me help you. Coming down the 18th fairway with the iconic clubhouse in the background, Max needed a birdie to win. And after a picture-perfect drive, he stuffed a green light special inside 3 feet to set up what was a mere formality. At least it looked like a mere formality. It should have been a mere formality. This was going to be the defining moment of the 30-year-old's golf life. Remember his backstory. A product of Valencia High School. He cut his teeth at Griffith Park Muni. He grew up coming down to Riv every year to watch the pros from the gallery side of the ropes. As a kid, he grew up on this event. The hometown hero was about to rip the hometown event, only to have this happen.
Oh, he did go middle, and it did move.
Oh! Absolute witchcraft. A 3-foot lip out on the low side, and the biggest gag job of the year so far on tour. And man, because I love the guy, absolutely love the guy, hated to see that, and hated to know, man, I'm going to have to talk about this early and often, because I love the guy. Now, so many other dudes would have mentally melted down right then and there and come unglued on their way to a sudden death playoff. And frankly, nobody would have blamed the guy if he did. I mean, who's going to come out of that? Especially since he just invited Tony Finau to come off the range and play one more that Finau had no business playing. And that big dog was up for it too. Because on the 10th tee box of the world famous short par 4, Finau piped one pin high just off the left side of the green. Like there's position A and then there's that drive. Perfect. Just perfect. Then Max was next. But he tugged his left into the tree line. And the CBS broadcast revealed that Homa's rock was in the worst place imaginable. Stymieville, USA. If you've ever played golf before, you know there's nothing worse than getting to that second shot and realizing you have to play backwards or sideways just to get back to a spot where you have a forward swing in the direction of the green. And that's what it looked like for Homa, who was sitting against a tree while Tony Finau was sitting pretty pin high. In other words, this one was over before these dudes even got off the box. Except Max kept his cool. He didn't blink. And he imagined one of the most creative shots you're ever going to see. Because what this dude did was take a 60-degree wedge, shut the face down completely, took the steepest half backswing, and made the cleanest contact to somehow get a deliberate hook shot onto the green.
What a cool shot.
Oh, that's a heck of a shot there. Tremendous from Homa.
What a cool shot is right. Tremendous. After the lip out on 18 and the tree lie on the playoff hole, two of his last three strokes were the unluckiest you could ever imagine. Yet again, he did not blink. He did not flinch. Instead, he saved the most unlikely par while Finau chipped on and missed a birdie to win. And then at the second sudden playoff hole, you had a feeling that Tony had just missed his chance again. And you want to talk about a hard luck guy. You want to talk about a guy who's come close so many times. Because Max was out there doing his best Matrix impression, just dodging bullets left and right. And that feeling came to fruition finally because Finau dumped his tee shot on the par 3 14 into the bunker while Max threw a dart just beneath the stick. Homa cleaned up a par. Finau missed a sand save. That was that. Thanks for coming. And just like that, after 74 holes and a couple of disasters that would have wrecked almost anybody else, Max Homa is your 2021 Genesis champion. And believe me, this meant the world to him.
What does it mean to you now to come back and win here?
It didn't hit me till just now. Been watching this tournament my whole life, why I fell in love with golf. Wow, I didn't think I'd be like this. Had good feelings this week. Been playing great. City of Champions now. Dodgers, Lakers, me now. So it's a weird feeling.
Atta boy. That was tough. That was very emotional. And he said it himself, I did not know that it would feel like this. I didn't know I'd be that overcome. But we are talking about the City of Champions. And this is where this guy grew up. A dude who grew up coming to RIV as a kid, who just won a second PGA Tour event in his own backyard where he used to watch the other pros do it. And that's why Aaron Rodgers dropped that City of Champions gloss in his tweet, because Max dropped it in that Greenside interview that you just heard. So Aaron was responding to that, and they're tight. A couple of Cal guys. Homa, who is the undisputed king of golf Twitter, also tweeted afterwards, quote, I spent over a dozen years trying to get Tiger to give me a high five at Riviera, and today he handed me a trophy. What a world, end quote. Man, what a world is right. Trophies are better than high fives, and now Max has done something at Riv that even the cat has never done, and that's win. Can you believe that? The cat has never won on that track. So maybe the cat should be looking for your high five in the future, Max. I mean, Tiger is known to whiff awkwardly on high fives. Just ask Stevie Williams and every highlight ever of the two of them trying to connect palms. Dude can flush a 4-iron to 2 feet from 260 out, but he can't hit a hand 8 inches away. Again, it cannot be overstated just how brass of a win that was, considering that 3-footer that he had to win and missed in that tree lie on the first playoff hole. But then again, for as brass as it all was, it's not surprising. I had Max on this show back in 2019, and he talked about the exact mentality that he had to have, the mindset that he had to have to prepare for those difficult moments at RIV on Sunday. This is a conversation he and I had back in 2019.
You know, I was sitting back and thinking about golf, and I thought, you know, well, Rory McIlroy hits his driver better than anybody. Justin Thomas hits his 7-iron better than everybody. I'm going to be tougher than everybody.
In other words, maybe the best club in the bag is your mind.
Yeah, it used to not be. That's what's crazy. So some of the struggles might have actually set me up for some success, because I used to be very hard on myself, and all of a sudden I got very big into being positive, very big on being nice to myself, and very, very big on keeping it as simple as possible. If I had a bad shot, you can't be telling yourself you suck. You can't be telling yourself to quit. You think it's just kind of little words you're saying to yourself, but I think that they cut a little deeper than you think. It's kind of like mental warfare when it was going bad. So I think that's been the biggest leap I've made.
Isn't that amazing, that conversation? Do we have that conversation? You wonder how a guy gets through missing a three-footer that lips out to win an event that important to him that doesn't fall apart. It's because of that. That's a conversation he and I had back in 2019. So very clearly, he had prepared himself for that moment. Not only to finish, not only to win, but to deal with some crazy adversity along the way. So normally I would say, how do you come back from missing a birdie like that at an event like that when you grew up in a place like that? Well, that's how. By being positive, by being good to yourself. And the best bag, or the best club in his bag, is his mind. I mean, wouldn't we all say that about all of us, whether we play golf or not? The best club in the bag's got to be your mind. Yeah, that and that closed down 60-degree wedge from behind a tree. Nice job, Max. I don't root, I don't play favorites, but I was really happy to see that. Well done, Max. City of champs. Dodgers, Lakers, and you, my man. You gotta love a guy who gets that caught up too in that moment. That was cool to see. 1-800-636-8686. Lots to get to, but why don't we get some quick reaction in here? Where to start? Hey, listen, if I see something on my screen from Montana, you know I'm gonna start there. Hey, Jim, Max straight up pulled victory from the gag in his throat. Epic comeback. Tree wedge. Then Finau, who's just tripping over trophies week after week, pulls his tee shot on the second playoff hole. Atta kid, Max. Joel and Missoula. What up, Missoula? I want to hear from you. Man, I feel like I'm a traitor to Montana since we went to Wisconsin. Still love Montana. What an amazing state. Shout outs to Missoula. You're right, Joel. That's pretty much what I just said in the take, but you're right. I agree. Hey, Jim, Max Homan's win at Riv was no big deal. Did you see the course conditions? Where was the gray grass? Where were the 75-foot putts? Why was the temperature above 45 degrees? Why were there trees on the course? Signed, British Open purist. Drew in West LA. Yeah, I would say there's something to it, but the winds were like 190 miles an hour, weren't they? I mean, we're talking about suspended play on Saturday. You never see that at Riv. The winds were kicking up. Rome Slice, did you see how giddy Max got when asked about Tiger Woods? Good God, is this a PGA champion or an EP for a sports radio show dressed in goofy clothes begging the cat for a high five? Geoff and Lincoln. I'll allow that. I will allow that. I mean, Max did admit he was scared to talk to Tiger earlier in the week. Mark in Hollywood is in. Max Homa is the future of golf. We'll be hearing a lot more from him in the next few years. Signed, Jordan Anonymous Spieth, walking the fairway at the Masters and being told by the officials that the tourney is only for professionals. The hell are you talking about, Mark? Spieth came into the event with two top fives. He's got three straight top 15s. Scottsdale, Pebble, and Riv. Granted, this weekend did not go as well as he had hoped. But as I mentioned, he came in with a couple of back-to-back top fives. This is what happens when I let you talk golf. And I'm starting by talking golf, but moreover, what I really wanted to do was remind all of you where I live or where I live adjacent to and who, in fact, is the city of champions, Los Angeles. I was born in L.A. I no longer live in L.A. I'm not claiming L.A. as my own. I'm saying I'm not that far from L.A. I'm right down the road. I could get to L.A. quickly by car. So I am adjacent to the City of Champions. Other things that I want to get to today. How was your weekend? As long as you didn't get knocked the hell out like a couple of dudes, you probably had a good weekend. And you probably know which knockouts I'm talking about. One in the Apex in Vegas and one in boxing. General rule of thumb when it comes to this program. If I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners, somebody did something really stupid or something really bad happened. Either way, if I'm talking Mariners on this program, something bad is about to happen to them. dopes. I've got that for you, which I'll get to. Nets, Clippers. Want to get into that. And the Lakers. All of a sudden, they've got a problem, right? And the Nets are getting better and better and better. How about somebody going grand salami twice in the same inning? And I'm not talking about Fernando Tatis Sr. I was back in 99. It's one of those records. Like, there's some records that will never be broken. And nobody's ever going to break that record. In order to break the record of two grand slams in one inning, you'd have to hit three grand slams in one inning. Some records are not meant to be broken, but if you can tie that record, that's something. And somebody did. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Jim, my best club is a sandwich inside a Jersey Mike's bag. Thanks. Signed, Pretzel Crow. I didn't know. Did Pretzel put on a pound or two? Apparently so. At, come on, Jared! It's one of my favorite Twitter handles. At, come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
The best club in my bag has extra meat and mayo. Yours, Russell Grow. All right, so the JTP has found their thing for today. And Squirrel 2 is in with the best club in my bag is my quadruple decker turkey club with all the fixins, a large fry, and five chocolate shakes. Yours, Russell Croissant. I guess Russ put on a pound or two. Y'all are like human scales. And as always, I'm sure all of you thumbing out those tweets are shredded. 5% or less body fat, fueling up on only clean burning fuel, probably all vegans, probably all swole and shredded and in the best shape of all. All right, with that in mind, break. Take a short time out, and we are open in the first hour. Kenny Moore, the second top of hour number two. Rick Barnes coming up in hour number two. So that means you should call me right now. If you can get through the bird, you can get on the air. If you get on the air, you might get rocked. If you might get rocked, who knows what that might lead to? Your own show, your own podcast, paychecks. You don't know unless you dial. So when you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you are talking to somebody who is not waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you. They're ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor right now at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Probably wondering, should I call? What if I flame out? What if I get torched? What if they're coming for me? Right. I mean, it could happen. It does happen. But what if you get racked? What if you're a legend? What if you make it better? You're not going to know unless you do it. Hit us up. Why don't we talk some Mariners baseball? As I mentioned, kind of a rule of thumb when it comes to this show. If I'm talking about that team, then it's going to go badly for that team. Generally, it does. Otherwise, I would not be talking about that team because they never do anything right. They never do anything good. So if I'm talking about the Mariners, and I'm talking about their president and their CEO, Kevin Mather, he probably did something really stupid. And then he and they are probably about to get wrecked for it. And if I'm talking about the president and the CEO talking to the Bellevue Breakfast Rotary Club, then it's going to go horribly for everybody. And that's pretty much the result of him running his yap to the Rotarians earlier this month. You see, he was speaking to the Breakfast Rotary Club on February 5th. Those comments became public yesterday and immediately went viral. So why is that? It's because he said the quiet part out loud and said so on pretty much every single topic imaginable. Like, you know the speech to the Rotary Club where nobody ever says anything noteworthy? You know it's an all-timer when you've got a guy like that having to issue a statement which includes the following line, and I quote, I've been on the phone most of the day today apologizing to the many people I have insulted, hurt, or disappointed in speaking at a recent online event. End quote. Attaboy. Stay hot, champ. How the hell could anything that happens at the Rotary Club go so horribly that you have to spend a day apologizing to all the people that you've insulted and hurt or disappointed? I mean, how dumb would you have to be? How bad would that speech have to warrant an apology like that? A statement like that from the CEO of an MLB team? The answer? Really, really dumb and a really horrible speech. The hell was this guy thinking anyway? Clearly he wasn't. My man's mouth was simply on autopilot. Check out what he said. How about that stuff about the fact that he admitted there was no way the team was going to call up their top prospects last season? Not because they weren't good enough, but because the team wanted to manipulate the service time.
If our major league team had had a COVID outbreak or injuries and we had to call people up from the taxi squad, we were a little short on players because there was no chance you were going to see these young players at T-Mobile Park. We weren't going to put them on the 40-man roster. We weren't going to start the service time clock. There were all kinds of reasons that if we would have had an injury problem or a COVID outbreak, you might have seen my big tummy out there in left field. You would not have seen our young players, our prospects, playing at T-Mobile Park.
Check this dude out. I'm going to gloss over the fact that a grown-ass man, an adult, just used the phrase, my big tummy, in public. I mean, normally that'd be one of the more offensive things in a speech like that. It doesn't even crack the top 10 here. And honestly, the fact that he's openly admitting to being happy to putting a lesser version of his own team on the field in order to manipulate service time isn't even the most egregious offense from this dope. I mean, we already know that goes on. We already know that a bunch of major league teams do that. But this moron is the only one admitting it in public and going on record with it. Except he wasn't done. He had more. Like saying that Kyle Seager is, quote, overpaid and that this would be his last year with the team. Like, that's cool, I guess. I'm not saying that Seager has been lighting the world on fire, but maybe you don't hop on a Zoom call with the Bellevue Rotary Club and put one of your key players on blast like that. And he wasn't done, not by a long shot. Because he had some thoughts that he wanted to get off his chest about the second-ranked prospect in the organization, Julio Rodriguez.
Julio Rodriguez has got a personality bigger than all of you combined. He is loud. His English is not tremendous.
Oh, good take, bro. Good take. He's got a huge personality, bigger than all of you, but his English is not tremendous. Yeah, I'm sure that's not the first time you've said that, and I guarantee it won't be the last. But first, he had more that he wanted to say about Rodriguez. Because why merely irritate? Why merely irritate one of your best prospects when you can go in on him and really piss him off?
Everybody says 2021. He won't be here till 2022 or 2023. A fantastic kid. Really big on social media. He loves to get out in front. He loves the Mariners.
That's a tremendous approach, right? Everybody says, we'll be calling this guy up this year. The hell we will. Maybe next year. And you know what? Maybe even the year after that. Let's make sure we keep on sucking before he gets here. I mean, why bring him up? He might help us. And I love that he chases that with, quote, a fantastic kid. Really big on social media. He loves to get out in front. He loves the Mariners. Yeah, I don't know about that, big dog. I'm not so sure about that part. He loves the Mariners. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he had. Until you got in front of the Rotarians. Because no sooner than that speech went viral, Rodriguez, because he's, quote, big on social media, was tweeting a Photoshop of his face on Michael Jordan's body from The Last Dance with the caption, quote, and I took that personally, end quote. So, he's already pissed off Kyle Seager and his family because Seager's wife Julie tweeted, quote, so, should we put our house in Seattle on the market now, or... Nice job, Julie. Good tweet. And as if Mather had not already shoved both his feet into his mouth and hadn't already done enough damage, he started cramming in the other limbs in a hurry. Check out this great section on dealing with diversity in his organization.
For instance, we just rehired Iwakuma. Iwakuma was a pitcher for us for a number of years. Wonderful human being. His English is terrible. He wanted to get back into the game. He wanted to, and he came to us, and we quite frankly want him as our Asian scout interpreter. What's going on in the Japanese league? He's coming to spring training, and I made the statement: I'm tired of paying his interpreter, because when he was a player, you know, we pay Iwakuma X, but we also had to pay $75,000 a year to have an interpreter with him. His English suddenly got better. His English got better when we told him that.
Man, this dude is just obsessed with people's ability to speak English, right? He's like, wonderful human being, but his English was really terrible. Yeah, really insightful take, Mather. Let me ask you something, Mather. How's your Japanese these days? Because you're definitely not a wonderful human being. And while your English may be wonderful, you're using it to torch your career and make your club a laughingstock. Well, a bigger laughing stock than it already was. Something that I didn't even think was possible. Man, and how cheap, how petty and how cheap would you have to be if you're bent about having to spend 75 grand so one of your key players can talk to his teammates, his coaches, and the media? Like, the rap on the Mariners organization is they suck and they spend as little as possible and they're not interested in winning and they couldn't figure out how even if they tried. It's the organization where careers go to die, and guys can't wait to get out of there. And after listening to this guy, if you didn't know before, now you know why. That's why they suck, and why guys don't want to be there. And by the way, he's talking about this guy arriving in 2012, nearly a decade later, and he's still crying about spending 75 grand to pay for an interpreter so a player can talk to his teammates and his coaches. And I don't know, maybe assimilate, get comfortable, help that team win? Dude, you're crying about 75 grand that you spent nearly a decade ago? And there was more garbage, like stuff about parking garages, how the team is making money, general bullcrap. This is an organization that is celebrating the 20th anniversary of their last playoff appearance this season. An organization that has not been relevant for decades, literally. Nobody cares about that club. And now you're proving exactly why that is. Because you're a major league club with a single A mentality. Imagine having the arrogance and audacity to talk like this when you're Kevin Mather. This isn't exactly Brian Cashman with a stack of rings. Or Theo Epstein. Or anybody else you've heard of or associated with winning something. This is Kevin Mather of the Seattle Mariners. And this dude's out here styling and profiling in front of the Bellevue Rotary Club like he's someone who's actually done something. And by the way, it's not like it's the first time this guy's gotten in hot water either. Before he was team president, he and two other team executives were accused of inappropriate workplace conduct by multiple women, accusations that resulted in financial settlements. And now you're taking shots at your own players. Now you're bragging about manipulating their service time. Now you're complaining that you have to pay for a translator. I mean, to quote another Seattle legend, for who? For what? To impress a dozen or so Rotarians? I mean, what's this guy going to do when it comes time to impress the Elks Lodge? Burn the stadium to the ground? How about that brunch? How about that brunch speech to the Knights of Columbus? Man, that's going to be so lit. Look the hell out when he starts talking to the Shriners.
It's lit!
I would call Seattle the West Coast Mets, but they're not even that. I mean, the Mets at least have a brand of sucking and being an embarrassment. They perfected that. The Mariners don't even have that. Like, they don't matter enough for anybody to waste any time clowning them. How can you clown something that doesn't really even exist? Or you forget they exist. Now, I'm not even calling for somebody's job. That's not my style. But the fact that the Mariners employed this guy and promoted this guy and still have this guy around in the position he's in tells you everything you need to know about him and them. One thing to think bullcrap, quite another to say it out loud, and still another to say it to folks in public who are in no way affiliated with the team. And still another to think that you can say crap like that and that it's going to stay in that room. I mean, I literally can't believe that in 2021 I have to make this statement. I still can't believe that I have to say this, but literally anyone who has a phone, in other words, everyone, is a reporter. So if you wouldn't say something like that to a reporter, then don't say it to anybody at all, because everybody is one and everything is on record. I mean, did you try to go off the record with the Rotarians? You can't ever go off the record. With life, all it takes is one, and there is one in every single room. So if you're a public figure and you do or you say something really stupid, chances are somebody will have video of it, and then we'll all know. That's your room, dummy, not the Rotary Club. How could a CEO of a major league franchise not know that at this point? Again, bad enough to think it, but even worse to say it in public. Know your room. Know your room. Your room is not the Rotary Club, dummy. Just the Mariners doing Mariner type things.
Seen my big tummy out there in left field.
Big dummy? Oh, you see my big tummy out there. This big tummy's full. This big tummy's full of milk. What an embarrassment. You Mariner fans. How's that feel? How's that taste, Mariner fan? If there are any left. 1-800-636-8686. Thankfully, the Seahawks are a little better. KJ Wright joining me at the top of hour number three. Coming up at the top of hour number two, Colts cornerback Kenny Moore. Now that we've seen what the Nets have done, now that we've seen their road trip through here, now that we've seen what they've done even without Kevin Durant of late, are they legit? How legit? Legit enough to win it all? I will get to that shortly, but first, here is a sports update. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Today, as you know, Albie, would you put me up, please?
Yeah, I know, dude. Just want to make sure I'm on the air.
All right, there's me in this big-ass studio, and then there's them on the other side of the glass. Them includes Alvin DeLauro, reminding me that,
dude, ATP.
Yeah, I know, Alvin, every Monday. On the other side of the glass, me. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit your question there, and listen later on where I might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We are wide open, 1-800-636-8686. Kenny Moore the second, top of the hour. Let's roll a couple of telephone calls. Listen, if you don't want to talk about any of these things, or maybe you want to talk about something I haven't gotten to yet, hit me up right now. Like, don't wait for me. Don't be so reactive. Be proactive. You can set your own agenda here. If there's something that you want to talk about, go right ahead. Let's go to Wisconsin. I mentioned I feel like I kind of betrayed my first favorite state that's not California, Montana, by leaving Montana for Wisconsin, but we did. Nothing against Montana. Had great times there. Having great times now in Wisconsin. Let's go there, Joel. In Wisconsin. It's good to have you, Joel. What's up? How are you?
Good, Jim. Actually, it's Joe, J-O-E, but that's okay. I'm
right.
Okay with that.
My bad. Sorry about that, Joe. What's up?
I had to listen to the comment about being adjacent to the golf with the City of Champions, and I can relate to that because I'm from a little town, a little city just adjacent to home of the Green Bay Packers, and I'm actually on the road heading up north to check on a cabin. My cabin up in Eagle River.
Nice.
You might know that area, and you might even know Cranberry Lake because that's the lake I'm on. We had some brutal weather the last 3 weeks, 50 below with wind chills. So I got to go up, check the cabin.
Joe, let me ask you, just so I'm clear, are you being facetious? You do know that we're on Catfish Lake, right?
Well, see, I was going to take my sled. No, I thought you were on Cranberry. My bad then. I'm going to take my sled across Cranberry, and I was going to go to the north end to check and see if your cabin was still standing, because you probably don't understand how cold it gets. And if your pipes burst, that's not a good thing, Jim.
No, that's not a good thing, Joe. I hope that's not the case. Yeah, if you swing by there, why don't I mean, first of all, Joe, thank you very much. Let me jump in. You don't need to actually go by there. I've got a guy that is checking on that house. And you're right. I may not know, but I know enough to know that it gets really bleeping cold there. And if the pipes burst, that's not a good thing. Now, I'm not going to be all up in here like I'm the handiest guy ever, because I'm not. I know this. I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm not good at. And something that I would not be good at is fixing pipes that burst. Luckily, the house that we built there is winterproof. It is winterproofed. So I think we'll be all right. And the guy who built the house is checking on the house for me. But I can appreciate what you're doing. So what this guy's saying is, I'm heading up north to go to Cranberry Lake to check on a cabin to make sure the pipes have not burst. Well, I know Cranberry Lake. Cranberry Lake was my first exposure to Eagle River, because my guy, Matt Coleman, has got a mansion on the lake. And it was in said lake that I dropped my expensive European iPhone. Cranberry Lake. See, now, I guess the one positive there is I couldn't drop it in the lake right now. Hey-o! I could be out there and drop the phone and it would just bounce off the frozen pond that is now Eagle River. Dude, how cold would it have to be for a chain of lakes to freeze? A chain of lakes, like miles and miles of lakes that you could run your snowmobile across it. I saw cars driving across it. That's how cold that place is right now.
A car.
Lots of cars. A snowmobile.
A car.
But yeah, hopefully my pipes have not burst. That would kind of suck. Can't wait for the summertime, though. I'll be back in Eagle River then. Let's see. That's like the most Wisconsin call ever, isn't it? Yo, hey, Rome. Just thought I'd check on your house for you. See, that's the other thing. Remember, I've told you the story that when we were there this summer and there was like this crazy storm that came out of nowhere and trees were falling down and hitting houses and windows and glass was breaking. All of our neighbors came together and they're like, all right, go time. These people on this street got the worst of it. So we're all going to band together and fix it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I don't even know my next door neighbor's name. In California. Yet all these people are going to show up at somebody's house down the street and fix their home for them for free for 8 hours. And I can't even tell you my next door neighbor's name. I mean, honestly, I don't even know my next door neighbor's name. That's a true story. In California, I do not know my next door neighbor's name. But in Wisconsin, if a tree falls on my house and wrecks my roof, they're up on the roof. Hey, Rome, death, taxes. And a caller from Wisconsin talking about the weather. The next Wisconsin caller to not mention the weather will be the first. We get it, Wisconsin. It's cold. We see the Packers on TV every damn year. What a bunch of fat idiots thinking we care. Aaron in Beacon Hill. See, that's the thing, Aaron. You and I heard the exact same call, but heard it two different ways. I didn't hear somebody calling up to complain about the weather. I heard a guy say, hey, Rome, I know you've got a cabin out here. Would you like me to swing by and check on it for you? Which, by the way, would be the most Wisconsin thing ever. Folks in the Midwest, man, they're just different. They're different. I think that that guy did that, not as a humble brag. I think that guy did that not as a way to complain about the weather. I think that guy really meant that. I think he legitimately meant, do you want me to swing by your cabin and make sure your pipes have not burst? Because that'd be a really bad thing for you, California guy. This is why I did not run him when he corrected me on his name. It's Joe, not Joel. All right.
Thanks, Joe.
At Hitman Canadian tweets, relax, Joe. If Rome's pipes burst, I got his back. Matt in L.A. Key phrase being Matt in L.A., not Matt in Eagle River, not Matt on Catfish Lake. But that was Matt going to do about my pipes from L.A.
Aloha means a hola.
Right.
I got a whole lot of toilets to clean up. So I'm going to bounce up out of here. Because I'm blue collar like that, Romy.
Respect. Those toilets are not going to fix themselves. Nor are my pipes if they burst. Yeah, it's a whole different world. Like, I'm in my studio, and I'm going to say this with sensitivity and respect to those who are dealing with life and death cold. But I'm here in my studio in my jacket, and my hands are really cold. Because inside of our building, we've got issues with our thermostat again. And when I say issues, like, we're probably in the office, I don't know, Adam, what do you think, like low 60s, mid-60s? Hawk says we're actually in the 50s in the office. Thermostat says 53, and I'm cold. So I can only imagine what it's like in Eagle River right about now. If I'm jacketing up, if I'm parka-ing up at 53, and I am. Haunted 00 Horse tweets, how's that taste, Mariners fan? Better than microwave popcorn without butter, Jim. Signed, Fatso Wells.
Fat.
Calling somebody fat is not a take.
Fat.
We don't fat shame around here. No, we don't do that. What we do is we talk sports. I interview athletes. I provide some entertainment, some insights, some good info. What we don't do around here is just show up and call people fat. Even if Alvin has a fat alarm. All right, so when we return, we're going to talk some Colts football. Kenny Moore II will be joining me top of the hour. Tennessee head basketball coach Rick Barnes coming up next hour. KJ Wright of the Seahawks coming up in hour number three. I meant to get to it last week. I haven't gotten to it yet. I might reset my conversation with Hoops icon Kenny Anderson. That's live, episode 163 of the Jim Rome Podcast. All right, if you got something you want to share with me, hit me up. You know what the phone number is. Hour number two, straight ahead. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Tremendous Monday, y'all.